Atam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surich Chanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Matajis Vimuchyatam Imam Bandham Avidya Kama Karmajam Sarva Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan Muchatam Imam Bandham Bhuta Surischanto Maitra Karuna Atmavan. So I'll chant 37 by myself. Mochaye grastam atmanam yoshin mayatma mayaya vikridito yayai vaham krida mriga ivadamaha. So, read word for word. Vimucha, having become free from. Tam, that. Imam, this. Bandham, bondage. Avidya, due to ignorance. Kama, due to lusty desire. Karmajam, caused by activities. Sarvabhuta, of all living entities. Suhrit, friend. Shanta, very peaceful. Maitra, friendly. Karuna, merciful. Atmavan, self-realized. Mochaye, I shall disentangle. Grastam, encaged. Atmanam, my soul. Yosit Maya, in the form of woman. Atmamayaya, by the illusory energy of the Lord. Vikridita, played with. Yaya, by which. Eva, certainly. Aham, I. Krida mriga, a controlled animal. Eva, like. Adama, so fallen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification, and thus one engages in many different types of pious and impious action. This is what constitutes material bondage. Now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, which has been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy in the form of a woman. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy and have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. A Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. The activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. One who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Everyone is like a play toy in the hands of the illusory energy and is acting as she moves him. One should come to Krishna consciousness to release oneself and also to release others. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalaka Chakshu Umilitam Jainitas Mai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripasana Bebita Paritana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, it's a very nice verse today because it kind of is a continuation of what we've been hearing for the last month here. I've been reading so many different passages by Srila Prabhupada in terms of preaching and, of course, specifically in terms of book distribution. But it's very interesting to note that in the purport, Prabhupada says that this should be the standard of determination for all of us in Krishna consciousness, and that is that we should disentangle ourselves from this material bondage. And, of course, this material bondage is all relationship to the bodily platform of life. Herein, Ajamil was bound up by a woman. But in the same, we see that women are bound up by men, by the attraction for men. And in both circumstances, there's a great amount of suffering that goes on. And until we disentangle ourselves from this attraction, this attachment, this suffering will continue on, birth after birth and life after life. And we see herein that the process of becoming disentangled is that one needs to take up the consciousness of salvation for others also, not just considering our own circumstance, but taking up the circumstance of all living entities who are suffering due to so many entanglements of this material world. And one interesting thing that I noted in here was that Srila Prabhupada said that the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. And then he goes on to say that this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. This is what it means to be perfect. And Srila Prabhupada also says that this is what an advanced devotee is. So many times we have this concern and we like to ask questions, well, what is an advanced devotee? Or who is an advanced devotee? And many times we misinterpret this particular question. Sometimes we may think that an advanced devotee is one who is simply a great speaker, or one may be a great cook, or someone may be a great mridanga player. And we may think that this is what an advanced devotee is. But herein, Srila Prabhupada says that an advanced devotee is one who is propagating this Krishna consciousness. That is an advanced devotee, one who is thinking constantly about the suffering condition of the living entities. And, of course, this takes knowledge. This takes some understanding of the science and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Here we see that Ajamil, he was simply there by the mercy of his chanting in great distress. And from just that chanting in great distress, he immediately was elevated to that highest platform of understanding the suffering of this material world. So that has something to say on the quality of the execution of our Krishna consciousness, especially in the chanting of the holy name. Because here, Ajamil was elevated to this position of this clear understanding just by this chanting of Narayana. And I can say that in the time that I spent in Krishna consciousness, which is quite a few years, most of my life in this body has been a devotee, or practicing, or trying to be a devotee. And I'm still not quite sure if I have this compassion for all of the conditioned souls. I'm not quite sure if I have this deep feeling of sorrow and compassion for the conditioned souls. So that has something to say about the quality of my execution of my Krishna conscious life. Because we see that Ajamil was elevated to that position immediately just by chanting Narayana. And he didn't even mean the Supreme Lord Narayana. He meant his son. So there's substance. There's an importance for the quality and the substance of our execution in Krishna consciousness. And by that execution, we begin to see, we develop the discriminative power to see what is the meaning of this material world. Prabhupada describes that there's two types of persons, bogi, or the ones boga, sense enjoyer, and the tyagi, or tyaga, the renunciate. These are the two types of people. And Prabhupada describes that first, one becomes a sense enjoyer. And one is interested in boga. And once one becomes tired of this boga, then one's thinking, let me be tyaga, or renunciate. And so first one wants to enjoy, and then one wants to renounce. A prime example of that is when I was in my youth, the hippie movement began. And we became frustrated because we saw our parents working so hard, and they were pressing so much this idea of working hard for sense gratification, get a house, you know, get a car, get all these wonderful attributes of the material energy, and work hard for it, like anything. Just like if you go out to the interstate now, you'll see tens of thousands of cars driving feverishly to go to work. And the purpose of this austerity is simply for sense gratification, boga. In due course of time, someone becomes frustrated, and then you read about them in the paper called road rage. They become frustrated because of the desire to enjoy material energy. And they become angry because they're working so hard like an ass for this desire of enjoyment. Another example that Papa gives is like the washerman and his donkey. You'll see the donkey, and this is it's somewhat comical, but it's also sad. And this is how we should see the living entities. Sometimes in India, if you're like walking, especially in Vrindavan, you can be walking along the road and you'll see a little donkey. He's just a little thing. He's just like maybe like a huge dog, you know, like a Doberman, a huge Doberman. And this donkey is carrying a load that's probably three times his size. And when you see the donkey walking, you see that his legs, they're starting to go like this. From the load, from the heavy load, day after day, his legs are beginning to protrude out, and he's walking like this down the street. And the master, you know, just going along, you know, and whenever the donkey slows down a little bit, he whips him. And the donkey is prepared to do this because he knows that the master, when he reaches that point of, you know, where he's supposed to go, the master gives him some grain or some grass. But Prabhupada says the donkey is so stupid, he doesn't realize that on both sides of the road, the left and right side, there's grass growing free. He doesn't have to be a beast of burden. But due to his ignorance, he's a beast of burden. And we see that this is the activities of the conditioned soul in the material world. And what's really even very sad and very pathetic is that I've been down by the Jamuna on several occasions, and there you see an abandoned donkey. The master has abandoned him because he could no longer carry the load. And you can see the donkey's legs, they become practically, he can't even use them. So one time I've seen a donkey sitting on the bank of the Jamuna. He could not move. And neither could he go down, because if ever he went down, he probably couldn't get back up. And he knew it. So he was just standing there till he was going to die. With people just coming along, maybe giving him a few scraps of food. But he could hardly even move. And he looked wretched. He looked like a wreck. He looked like an abandoned living entity. So this is the nature of the material world. We become so dedicated because of bhoga, because we want to enjoy sense gratification, and we work like anything. And then eventually we become abandoned by this material world. We are alone with no one. What was our master? Our master was our, you know, our desire for enjoying our wife or our husband, our children. And their children abandon you. In due course of time, your own children will abandon you. Just like we abandoned our parents. We left. We're in the same situation. They worked so diligently. Your mother and father got up so early in the morning in order to create a wonderful atmosphere for us. In due course of time, at 17, 18, we were counting the days till we could run away, get out of the house, and do our own bhoga. And we wanted to renounce everything. This is lunacy. This is the whole point. If we understand the lunacy of the material energy, how can we not have compassion for these individuals? How can we not have a little bit of desire to give them an opportunity to get out of this material world and become immortal? This is what our position is. We're actually immortal. But we're so attached and addicted to this material energy, we've forgotten. So it's just like Papa describes, you know, how, let's say, for instance, we have this guy, Harry, here. He's building these doors for us, you know, for the last 15 years. But I thought I'd throw in that joke. But, you know, let's say we're paying him. We're giving him the materials, everything he needs. We give him everything he needs, and he's doing all this work. When he finally finishes this project, if he comes up to me and says, Swavas, thank you very much, but I own these doors. And I'll have to look at him and say, "What? Are you nuts?" He said, no, I made these doors. They're mine. But I'll say, well, no, I gave you all the material. I gave you everything you need. He said, I don't care. It's mine. And this is boga. We've been given everything by the Supreme Lord. Everything. The trees, the sunshine, the rain, the grass, the food, association. Krishna gave me my wife, my children, my child. Krishna has given us everything. But then we have the audacity to say, like Harry, no, this is mine. And then what happens to us is we become tired of all this. And then we say, okay, I renounce it. If it isn't mine, Harry will say to me, well, okay, if you say that it's not my doors, then I renounce those doors. And then we have to look at him and say, what are you, a lunatic? They were never yours in the beginning. And this is our level of renunciation. First of all, we don't have anything. There is a saying that we come into this world naked and you leave this world naked. You come with nothing, you leave with nothing. Nothing is ours. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. As we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Voktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvaman Samtim Richati. Krishna's everything. We're nothing. So you can see the lunacy of this material world. How we work so hard. And then when we become frustrated and we get burned, we wonder why. Why? Because that's the nature of this material energy. This is what it means. And here we see that Ajamil, he's realized this. He realized that, my God, I gave up my whole Brahminical culture simply to have sex with a woman. And I produced so many children illegitimately. I was a thief. I was a murderer. I did everything I possibly could just to become a boga, a sense enjoyer, just for that purpose. And we can analyze. It doesn't take much. You don't have to be a PhD or super educated. We just simply have to believe that what the Shastras say, what the spiritual master, what the Acharya says, is actually the truth. This is the nature of this material world, and Bhagavatam is giving it to us. The Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us this understanding, this knowledge. We simply have to accept. This is Brahminical culture. This is what Brahminical culture means, that we accept the teachings of the Vedas. We study, especially the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, we misinterpret. This is why the spiritual mass is so important, because we misinterpret what it means to renounce. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says, Sarva Dharmam Prityajam Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja, what he actually means is that stop thinking that you own something and just give it back to me. This is what Krishna means. He's not saying that you have something. You have nothing. Renunciation means that we learn how to give it back to the owner. This is what it means. It's like a child. If a child takes a $100 bill from its parent and it's holding on to the money, it doesn't know what to do with it, really. It's just holding on to it. It has no idea the value of it. And it doesn't even know that it belongs to the parent. And the parent may say, well, give me back that money. Give it back to me, because you don't know what you're doing with it. You know, we see the child that holds on to it. No, no. And if you take it, they start crying. You know, there'll be profuse tears. And there'll be so much stress and anxiety. Because the child has no idea what the value is. It has no idea who it belongs to. But it just became attached. So Krishna consciousness is there to help us understand the value of human form of life. That it's not ours. It's given to us by Krishna. And once we understand that point, then we can become freed from this stress and this anxiety, as we see here at Jamil. He's become free. So we've created so many religions due to this boga and tyaga. So many. You see, there's countless amounts of religions in the world today that talk about Just surrender to Jesus Christ through me, and you'll become successful, and you can get a Mercedes. You know, I think that Janis Joplin sang a song like that. And to Jesus, can you give me my Mercedes Benz? And we see so many people. They believe that this is religion. They fervently fight for this, understanding this knowledge. And as they get that particular commodity, they become so happy. But then again, there's distress. Sukha and dukkha. There's this happiness and distress. So, we have to develop this Brahminical culture. It's extremely important. Srila Prabhupada said he started this Krishna consciousness movement to develop Brahminically minded devotees. That has to be there. A Brahmana is qualified by practicing cleanliness, by practicing austerity, control of the mind, control of the senses, simplicity, truthfulness, a study and the belief in the Vedas, you know, especially the Bhagavad Gita. These things are important. This is, you know, a Brahmana is noted by his activities or her activities. It's like if you have a person who's an engineer, has an engineer degree, and they just go home and they don't do anything with it. And somebody asks him, what are you? I'm an engineer. Well, what kind of engineer are you? You don't do anything with engineering. You don't use it. So Brahmana means by the practice. This is how you can perceive and see a Brahmana, by the activities. In the same way Prabhupada is saying, you can see and experience an advanced devotee by their desire to relieve people from this distressful condition of life. And they make plans. Like Prabhupada said, you young boys and girls in America, please make your plans how to distribute profusely this literature, this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. This is an advanced devotee. This is a person who actually has understood the message of the Acharyas, who has understood the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is what Krishna consciousness really is. It's not just to make a very wonderful situation. And you can see how that's kind of like, it's difficult. For instance, I'll give an example. Like when I was distributing books many years ago, there was always a war between the book distributors and the devotees, like householders that stayed at the temple. And I'm sure that Nakama, Sir Prabhu, they can attest to this. The book distributors were always upset because they felt that their money was being used to support the householders. And there was always this fight going on, isn't it? I mean, was that always that kind of a distressful thing? And the book distributors said, man, we're not going to go out and distribute books if you're going to use the money for these householders to use it for their sense gratification. It was always this kind of a tug of war going on. So in the same way, we see that all of us have to be participating in this preaching effort. Without any envy, we all have to come together, work together harmoniously as a Krishna conscious temple. And our mission is to preach Krishna consciousness. That's really what it is. These temples are meant for that purpose. They're not meant for anything else, really. This is why we have the Sunday feast. Why do we have festivals? Why do we do a festival? Because you think it's some... What can you possibly think a festival is for? It's to bring in the conditioned souls. And what really amazes me is that the conditioned souls come and the devotees go out. We can be having a festival and the devotees get in their car and drive off somewhere because they can't take the festival. They got to get off the block because it's too much stress. They can't handle the stress of the festival. Isn't it incredible how we want to have a festival to invite conditioned souls to come and hear about Krishna, and we in the temple take off? it's such a silly thing. And you can see that we want people to come to hear about Krishna. We want to tell them about the suffering condition of this material life, but we don't want to do that. We want to do something else. We want to spend our time doing something else, sitting in our room, talking or chanting or whatever. But that means that we're only concerned about ourselves. That's what that means. We're only concerned about our Krishna consciousness. That's what that implies. Because as we said, a Brahmana is noted by his activities. This is how it's understood. An advanced devotee is understood as wanting to help the conditioned souls and racking their brains and their minds to see how and what we can do to get people to relieve them of this distress that they're living in, this bhoga and tyaga. And this is what's going on. And we see that all the great saints and souls, that's what they do, like Lord Jesus Christ. What was he doing? He preached at the cost of his life. What was Haridas Thakur doing? He preached at the cost of his life about Krishna consciousness. We see Vasudev Datta made a contract with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you can deliver all the living entities, and those that are too fallen, those that you see that are too fallen, that can't be in any way helped, then let them give me that burden upon myself. I will take that burden for the most fallen, those that don't, you know, that Lord Chaitanya leaves behind. And we see that Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they would go door to door and devise all kinds of tricks and games in order to preach Krishna consciousness. Like it says to Haridas Thakur, he would fall flat, dandavat, on the doorstep, so they couldn't close the door. And Nityananda Prabhu would go in the house and roll around, chanting Hare Krishna, and not leave till they chanted the holy name. This is pretty, this is really using your brain. So this is actually Krishna consciousness. And we see here, this is what Srila Prabhupada is speaking about. So we have to practice this. And it only comes by regulation and control. This is the only way that Krishna consciousness comes about, by regulating our life, by controlling ourselves. This is brahminical. And by chanting the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we develop the Vaishnav qualities. And all these things automatically manifest. So we need to live this brahminical life and not just say, well, I'm a Brahmin. I have my thread. This means nothing if we don't act on that principle. And what is that principle? Here it means to spread the Krishna conscious movement, to relieve people from their distressful condition. This is what we should be thinking about. Otherwise, we're kripana. We're just thinking about ourselves. And we'll always be in fear. Something will always happen that will make you fearful. Oh my God. No, the festival. Oh, darn it. No, I won't be able to be, happy. Let me get out of here. Let me go down by the ocean where it's peaceful, calm, pleasant, and chant a few rounds. You're missing out. Missing out on how to help the conditioned souls is what Krishna wants. And what's the guru wants? The acharya. Srila Prabhupada wants this. And we've given examples of different devotees, great Vaishnava devotees, who performed this activity of preaching. So we just got done with a marathon, and it was very nice. So many nice things were going on. So many books were distributed. But now we have to somehow or other become more determined that we'll try to practice what we preach. Is very important, good for us for the beginning of a new year. 2011 could be a big year for each of us individually to make more commitments to preach Krishna consciousness, surrender more. This is really our position, to surrender. Krishna is everything. He owns everything. He's everything. We, as parts and parcels, our position is simply to serve Krishna's mission to deliver the souls like we were delivered. Just the way we were delivered by a devotee approaching you, telling you about Krishna, and you became attracted. And then you came. And there it is. You are now a devotee. So let's look deep within ourselves and see what we can do to improve in this regard, in this aspect of our Krishna consciousness. Okay? Jai. I went over time, so I'm sorry. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.